This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
All right, two down. Three to go as we take you all the way till midnight on our five-hour ride to midnight right here on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. All right, we'll get back to the calls in a second. I wanted to talk about Jackson Dart just for a little bit, as obviously you just heard from Marco, the idea that Jackson Dart had to respond again. And you know how I feel. I've gone on about this. I think this narrative is a bit much. But Dan Quinn, when talking to the Commanders, getting ready for the Giants game, calling him pretty much basically a quarterback, basically a running back, that he's a running back first. And he doesn't go out of bounds, and they should take shots at him. And this actually goes back to what I said about the Patriots. Now, if you want to say, right, that he's put himself in that position by not running out of bounds, or he's put himself in that position trying to get the extra yard, I mean, that's fine. But let's just be honest about what's happening. And this is what I said. This is what I said about the Patriots game and the hit. That it's a cheap, I mean, you might not want to call it cheap shots, football, it's this, it's that. He's got to take care of himself. When you're in a meeting and you're specifically pointing to a quarterback and that, listen, he might not take care of himself, you make sure you go out there and absolutely lay the wood to him. I mean, that's, you want to say that's fine? That's fine. I'm not saying it's not fine. I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm saying that they made a point. I think the Patriots did too. I think everyone who plays against them. So he's got to understand this, Jackson Dart. He has to understand that in the NFL circles, in meetings, they're telling him, they're telling their football team, they're telling their defense, if he doesn't get down or he doesn't go out of bounds, you hit him as hard as humanly possible. You ride that line. And, like, that's why we continue to see these penalties on guys who are sliding and get hit. Because, hey, if he doesn't slide, you better absolutely lay into him. He's a running back first, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's his game. And if he doesn't get out of bounds, you absolutely tear him apart. Like, I'm just saying, that's all I said was, is that's what the Patriots are trying to do too. And, yes, it's up to him to be careful. No doubt about it. This is football. I get all that. But when you tell your football team that, and then he's, you know, just about to go out of bounds on the sidelines and you're coming from across the field, instead of a normal two-arm shove, you get the hit you got on him on the sidelines, because they are specifically talking about it in meetings to make sure they absolutely try and pound this kid. So that's fine. That's fine. And Jackson Dart needs to be careful. No doubt about it. But I still think the narrative around it is a bit ridiculous. And I can say that, but clearly other coaches of other teams are talking about it. Jackson Dart said as much, that he's heard that other coaches, every college coach he ever played against, said the same things and talked about the same things and wanted to make sure he understood that if he was going to run and act like a running back, he was going to get treated as such. Okay. And he definitely does. I don't want to say that Jackson Dart doesn't need to change his ways in many ways, and he doesn't have to get out of bounds better and make sure he gets down. I think if you've watched the games, you are seeing that maturation process. Like, it wasn't like he took a bad hit or did something stupid to get sent to the tent this last time. He just tried to get back to the line of scrimmage after a botched play, and for some reason, the NFL spotter, and I have no problem with NFL spotters being overly precautious, but the NFL spotter sent him to the sidelines for two plays, and he was right back in there. And we're going to treat that as like another on a long list of times that he's, when we see other quarterbacks do the same thing. Jalen Hurts runs the tush-push 10 times a game. Justin Fields had a concussion. Nobody talks about this. Drake May had a concussion. You know, there was a little bit of a conversation in Boston and in New England about, hey, he has to do a slightly better job, but nobody ever said, oh, he'll never be able to play. Like, I don't remember him after answering it. Every single question of every single press conference is strictly about this. Like, I think it's overblown. I think he is getting better at it. I think he made a really couple of stupid, like real stupid plays at the beginning of the season. I haven't seen those stupid plays. I haven't seen plays where he's looking for extra contact. I just haven't. And I have really no concerns that he won't be able to incorporate his game and play with a tenacity and play with using his legs, because that's what makes him great. And I have no doubt that he'll be able to incorporate that a little bit better and be a little bit more safe. But I do think the narrative around it has just become so over the top. I mean, it's all the kid has to talk about. Every time he's asked something, he's got to talk about this. It's ridiculous. But I did want to also say something he should be talking about. Cam Ward, the number one overall pick for the Tennessee Titans, is finishing up his rookie season. They've obviously had a miserable season. They fired their head coach halfway through the year. Callahan was, I think he was an awful head coach. But they fired Callahan halfway through the year, and Cam Ward has expressed interest in meeting and talking to all of the head coaches' candidates. He wants to be involved in the head coaching search. And I think he absolutely should be. When you are the franchise quarterback and you're young like this and you're still developing, like, it's important to work with a guy that you feel you can work with. I'm not saying that's the be-all, end-all, and that his decision should be final. But if you want your franchise to work, he needs to work. And he needs to be in on the meetings, and he needs to talk to these coaches. And I think the Giants should do the exact same thing as we are talking now about who's going to be the next head coach, right? And we're still focused on whether or not Joe Shane is going to be here, whether or not Joe Shane is going to lead that search, whether it's going to be an experienced head coach, whether we're still waiting for Mike Tomlin, as I still am, but whatever the case may be, when this season ends and they really start hyping up the interviews and talking to these coaches, Jackson Dart needs to be in on the conversation. He needs to talk to these guys. He needs to, because that relationship is going to be the most important relationship that the team has. Right, GM and head coach, obviously important. But the coach and the quarterback, that relationship is going to be paramount. It's why I want an offensive head coach, unless I'm going to get a Mike Tomlin, unless I'm going to get a Vrabel type or a Bill Belichick if they go that route. I have other reasons to not want Bill Belichick necessarily. I'm not going to say, well, he's not an offensive guy. Like he's a head coach who's won Super Bowls, you know. Tons of more Super Bowls than I have fingers on my right hand. I mean, he's done quite well. Same thing with Mike Tomlin, same thing with Vrabel. You know, you hire one of those guys, I don't really care. You hire, you know, if John Harbaugh falls out of favor in Baltimore, if they blow this division, like, I don't care that he's a special teams guy or whatever. He's a head coach, and he's been that for a long time. But if I'm hiring a young, somewhat inexperienced, whether it's got the experience of a couple of years or one stop like a Cliff Kingsbury, or if it's a completely inexperienced coordinator, like, I absolutely think Jackson Dart should be in. Like, Jackson Dart needs to be a part of the conversation in when they're deciding and when they're choosing this head coach. Because I think, I don't know about you, I think he played his best football with Brian Daboll. Now, I'm not saying he's been bad the last couple weeks since coming back from injury, but I don't think he's been as good as he was with Brian Daboll. And clearly, he was emotional about Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll was the guy who brought him here. Brian Daboll was the guy who wanted him. Brian Daboll was the guy he was working with on a daily basis. That's important. And I know we've had this conversation a little bit about what to do with the first overall pick if the Giants are lucky enough to get that first overall pick. And would you take Mendoza? Or would you keep Dart? Is Dart the future of this franchise? For me, the answer is 100% yes. Jackson Dart is the future of this franchise. He's the guy. I'm sold in. I'm bought in. He's the guy. And if that's the case, he's the most important player in your franchise, and he should be in on every meeting you take. I'm not saying he gets to choose. I am not saying he gets to choose. He doesn't get to say, this is the guy I want to be the head coach, and they pick based on that. But he should have a conversation. He should have a voice. He should have an opinion. He should meet with these guys. Like, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think there's any doubt, because he's the future. And you've got to find a coach that's either compatible with him, or he believes in, or he'll buy into, or that, you know, trusts him and wants him. Like, I think that relationship is going to be imperative. And I firmly believe that Cam Ward should have the same opportunity. He should be involved in everything. He is not the final voice, but I would include him in everything. I would include him in free agency. I would include him in draft conversations. He was just in college. He might have some experience on these guys, or be able to say, yeah, I know it looks great on tape, but you know what? That system, I've seen cornerbacks play that well, no matter who steps in, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever. Like, information and whatever buy-in you can get from a young kid who honestly probably needs to be sold on the idea that the Giants know what the hell they're doing. Right? I mean, let's be honest. I know he's not going anywhere and he's under contract. But right now, if you're the quarterback of the Giants and you have seen this thing yet again, like, you have all this enthusiasm, you step in there, you win your first start, you beat the Eagles in your third start, you're up 19-0 on the Denver Broncos, who are, you know, one of the better teams in football on a winning streak. And it all falls apart from that point on. And the coach gets fired, and everybody wants the GM fired, and he's got to listen to idiots like me scream and rant and rave on the radio. And it's just a disaster. And now he's being asked every 2 seconds about whether or not he's protecting himself and whether or not he's playing the position correctly by media like he's never experienced before. And everyone asks him, well, you know, this is now the fourth consecutive year where the Giants will be picking the top 10 and the losing. Like, Jackson Dart needs to have belief in this team and needs to have belief in this franchise as much as they need to believe in him. And this should be an absolute, you know, team. It's not just he's the leader of the team on the field, and he should be part of the team off it. Again, he shouldn't be making the draft picks. He shouldn't be signing the free agents, and he shouldn't be picking the head coach. But I'd run every one of those decisions by him. I would make him feel like he is as big a part of this organization as anybody else in the franchise. He would be my guy. I would make it clear to him he's my guy, and I would involve his opinion on everything I do. On everything I do. And it starts with who the next head coach is. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Let's get back to the calls. I know there's still baseball calls. We'll take your baseball calls. We'll take your football calls. Blake in Frisco, Texas wants to talk on The Fan. What's up, Blake?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I listen to you a lot. You're a very logical guy. I actually like a lot of points that you make about the Giants. I would say that I wouldn't really sit Dart or Cam Ward, for that matter, in any meetings with a coach. These guys are young. Obviously, you know that. I know that they're young guys. I would do my due diligence interviewing, asking proper questions, but by no means would I stretch the power to Dart to allow him to feel like this relationship, you know, if the relationship works or doesn't work, you know, based on him, because there's a whole team. It's important that it works. I like Dable with Dart. I was hoping that Dable would work out. But I hear what you're saying. I just think, would you not think that giving Dart, you know, that kind of power could start hindering maybe, you know how guys get, man. You ask them, you put them in certain rooms, they start thinking who they are, and I just think it may be too early for that. I mean, he's not nope. Aaron Rodgers and nope. not to that degree and had that career. Nope. And I just think time will tell.
No, I think I don't think this is telling him we think you're a Hall of Famer. This is telling him you're our guy and we're in this together. It's telling him we have belief in you, that we value your opinion and we expect you to lift up this franchise as much as we expect to lift you up. And that we're a part of this, and that, you know, your position and your standing in this organization is as big as anyone, and we're gonna have your input on things. The only negative that I could find I don't think that's it. The negative or drawback to my opinion is he loves a coach, falls in love with a coach, says that has to be the guy, and they disagree and go a different direction, and now you're building some resentment. Maybe, you know, he didn't like the coach that you end up choosing. And it kind of backfires in that way. They get off on the wrong foot because in the meetings he didn't get along, and yet you feel he's the best candidate. Like, I suppose that would be the drawback. It wouldn't be all of a sudden he thinks he's Aaron Rodgers now. That I wouldn't worry about that. I would worry about it not going great with the coach that you end up making a decision on. But I don't know if I would choose the coach where I felt like it didn't go great with Jackson Dart. Like, I don't know. It depends. Josh in Springfield. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's going on? How's it going tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I just want to talk about Giants head coaching. I was curious to get your take. I know they have a little. I know they put out a short list of people they're looking at: Jeff Hapley, Lou Anarumo, and then there's Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame. I was curious if you think they'll. I think Marcus Freeman's really interesting. That would definitely inject some really young blood into an organization that can really need it, you know, after Dable, who I honestly thought they should have not had coach this season and proved to be right, 2-8, and they got rid of him. But I was curious to see where you think they might go. You think they may go with a guy like Freeman, or you think they go with a guy like Hapley, who's like a proven person in the NFL?
Yeah, I think they're going to be more likely to go with the proven person in the NFL. When Jay Glazer first reported after the firing of Brian Dable, he first reported that the Giants were not inclined to go the college route. So, I mean, I think he's an impressive candidate. I think he's done a really good job at Notre Dame. I would consider him. I don't know if he would be my guy necessarily. I am still in the camp as of right now of looking for a coach that has had NFL head coaching experience. It doesn't have to be this wildly long, successful tenure of head coach. but I would like the idea of a guy who's had the experience. Like, for me, the example of what I'm talking about is like Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury has been a head coach. He was a head coach in Arizona with the Cardinals. He had a couple of decent years. It wasn't an overly successful run as a head coach. It wasn't a disaster run as a head coach, but he had some experience. He's done it before. I would think he would learn from it, and I think he's a good offensive mind who has worked really well with Jane Daniels. That is the kind of, like, he would be, to me, one of the best candidates. Head coaching experience, has worked with Murray and Daniels, who, you know, use their legs a little bit, so I think he could build an offense for Jackson Dart. Had the head coaching experience, has been fired, learned from it, has been humbled back as coordinator, and was part of the reason and part of the, you know, the scheming and game planning with Daniels got them to an NFC championship game last year. Like, that's a candidate for me. I think Cliff Kingsbury's as good a name as you can find this side of the obvious ones. But I would look for a coach that had head coaching experience. Is it a must? I mean, it depends on what coaches are available that have that meet that criteria. But they have done how many coaches in a row since Tom Coughlin without any coaching experience, and there hasn't been a good one even mixed in. So I would look to do a little bit more in the experience camp if it were just me.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019, halfway through our ride to midnight as I take you for another 2.5 on this Wednesday night. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Phil in Sheepshead Bay. What's up, Phil?
Yeah, how are you this evening, T-Mac?
I'm doing well, Phil.
Listen, I heard a rumor. I don't know. It's all talk at this point. Things are moving very slow as far as free agency and trades. The Mets and San Diego Padres involving maybe Mason Miller and Tatis. And in your opinion, what's happening there?
I don't know. There's been. I don't think Tatis is available, and thank you for the call. I don't think Tatis is available. Mason Miller may be available, but I don't know. Now that they've signed Weaver and Williams, do I think that they believe that they're on the cusp of trading for Mason Miller? I don't know. I still would. And then I would have, I mean, that would be, now you're talking about a legit bullpen. I would definitely be open to it. The early reports were some sort of Fernando Tatis, Francisco Lindor, some big, huge trade with San Diego. I don't know if that's the case. Now, you're still going to have to make one hell of a trade for Mason Miller. I mean, he's got years of control. They traded away, arguably, like the top or top three minimum prospect in all of baseball to get Mason Miller. Like, they just did that. I can't. It's going to take a ton. It's going to take a ton to get Mason Miller. But that is, I mean, you want to go, if they want to shed payroll and they're looking to get rid of Mason Miller, or they're, you know, which he doesn't even make that much money, that would be a huge, huge deal. Now you're talking about having a dominant bullpen. I mean, if you would have in last year's offseason acquired Williams and Mason Miller, it would have been like, good, that's two of the top three closers in the game. I mean, that's a killer bullpen. And then, you know, that you could go less towards the rotation and feel good with just a cavalcade of arms coming out of the bullpen. But I don't know. I don't think Tatis is being traded. I think they're looking to absolutely, you might have to take on Xander Bogaerts. Like, that might be part of it. You trade for Mason Miller and you take on Xander Bogaerts. I don't know where the Mets would play him. Third base? I don't know. Third base. And you know, make Beatty a part-time player. Put Beatty at first, along with Polanco. Like, I don't know. But those are the guys they're looking to get rid of. Maybe Machado, certainly Xander Bogaerts. I don't think they're looking to get rid of Fernando Tatis, and I don't. Like, it's going to take a ton to get Mason Miller, but if you can, you go do that. Ed in Waldwick. What's up, Ed?
Hey, Chris, big fan. I'm going to miss you on the overnights. I'm an insomniac, but congratulations on your promotion.
Thank you very much. I'm going to miss doing the overnight shows. That was...
One question. Yeah. I think the biggest star right now in New York sports is, you know, no talk about at all, is Matt Schaefer from the Islanders.
Yeah.
I know it's not a big hockey thing, but if he was on the Rangers, I think they would have a statue built for him already.
Well, I don't know about that, but he would probably be a bigger name right now. I don't disagree with you. He's having an incredible start to his career. And then all the ancillary stuff, you know, with, you know, where he's living right now, Matt Martin and everything. But no doubt he has immediately as such a young kid. Come into the league and been absolutely excellent. And they're kind of surging. They're in second place in the Metropolitan. They're playing much better as the Rangers failed. And the Rangers did call up a bunch of kids today. Hopefully that can impact the offense, as they've really struggled offensively here over the last five or six years.
Especially at home, yeah.
Especially at home. So we'll see if that impacts them. But, yeah, no, Schaefer has been an incredible story, incredible draft pick, and, you know, has been really great. And it's frustrating. You mentioned, like, the thing for the Ranger fans is also they had picks. They had the top overall pick. Lafreniere does not look like Schaefer. Capo Caco, second overall pick, doesn't look like Jack Hughes. There's all that speculation that the Islanders were given the draft pick, the number one pick, after they had the All-Star game taken away from them. Whatever the case may be, the Devils had their opportunity to draft at the top of the draft. They got Jack Hughes. the Islanders had a chance, had their chance to draft at the top of the draft. They got Schaefer. The Rangers had two cracks at it. Back-to-back years, number two and then number one. They got Kaapo Kakko and Lafreniere. Kaapo Kakko isn't even with the team anymore, and Lafreniere has been a massive disappointment. I mean, you could look at that right there as a huge, huge issue for this Ranger team. Gabriel in Brooklyn. What's up, Gabe?
Yeah, hey, Chris. First time, long time.
Thank you.
First off, happy holidays.
Same to you. So, happy holidays. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think you're dead on that, you know, the head coach for Giants is important, and Dart's influence is important. But at the same time, he's getting paid a lot of money. This is not a decision that, of course, if he's a part of those conversations,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's going to be the guy that says, hey, I don't like this guy. That's a decision right there. Even if he's not the decision maker, I think including him is actually something I'm hesitant against. He's a great player. He's got a great head on his shoulders, but he should be able to play with the right caller behind him. And I don't think that he should have a say in the relationship.
Yeah, I don't agree. I understand your point. I mean, again, I'm not saying he gets to pick it, but I do think that he should have a conversation. I mean, who do you feel like you trust Joe Shane making that decision over him? You trust John Mara making that decision over him? Like, who exactly is better at making hires right now? Who do you feel like, if you felt confident that the Giants would make a good decision, I'd feel maybe a little bit differently. But this decision is going to be about who can get the most out of Jackson Dart. Because as much as it can get boring, and it can get tedious, and it can get repetitive and redundant, and as soon as I find my thesaurus, I'll give you other words for it. But the NFL is about the quarterback. It's what it's about. Jets have done a really nice job building a roster. Joe Douglas did a really nice job building a roster. Like, all that matters is the quarterback. That's where franchises, but you can have the one-off year where your defense plays incredibly well and surprise some people and you win some games. And hell, if the defense is really that great and the rest of the weapons are that great, you could have the pop through year where you win. Brad Johnson can win a Super Bowl. Right? You can win with a backup quarterback. But for the most part, you look at the teams who win and have consistently won. It's about the quarterback. Jackson Dart's the most important player on the field, most important player in the franchise. I would incorporate him in everything I do. Everything I do. He would be in on almost every meeting. Now, again, like Judge, same thing with Judge, and Judge isn't even the quarterback. Judge is the same thing. They're asking Judge about free agency. They're talking to Judge about everything. Like, Jackson Dart should have that same thing. That the quarterback position is that important. Craig in Matawan. What's up, Craig?
C-Mac, I love the show, and once again, you're great at what you do, and congratulations on the move. I'm sure you and Craig together are going to be a hot show. It's going to be good.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Forgive me for what I'm about to say, and let me finish. Listen, at the end of the day, unless the narrator or whatever of football has changed, the GM's job is to hire a coach. The coach's job is to coach players. The player's job is to play football. At the end of the day, this is a dumb idea. Because if he throws 9 picks in one game, now he's going to be arguing with half the team. Oh, it's his team. It's a dumb idea, Chris. It's a dumb idea. I'm dumb now for listening to it, and so is the rest of the audience. I'm serious. This is not the NBA where LeBron gets to pick his coach. And I mean, at the end of the day, listen, I understand Aaron Judge has deserved that, and I'm a Mets fan, has earned that right. First of all, he carries that team on his back, okay? And I understand Jackson Dart eventually will, but he's not Tom Brady. He hasn't won anything yet. Let him stay on the field first, healthy, and then we can get to a situation where maybe he can crack the door open a little and peek through on the meetings. Let him stay healthy.
What does that have to do with it? What does this health have to do with it? Is he the franchise leading quarterback or not right now?
Yes, when he's on the field.
Is he the franchise? Is he the franchise quarterback or not?
Is he the
next year? Is he the franchise quarterback or not?
We'll see how he performs next year when he's healthy.
Well, to me, he should. He's still in that development time. You make it sound like really smart people who are good at this, who are proven at hiring the right people, are in that room making the decision. Like, he should have no say in it. Developing him is part of the next coach's job. That's part. The next coach is going to have to make sure Jackson Dart is the guy next year. That's part of the reason. If he was established and great and Tom Brady, I'd care less about his opinion with the coach. I'd care less. I want his opinion with the coach because he's going to be working with him to get better. I need a coach that's going to work with him to get better. He should be in on the process. He should be in on the process of coach. He should be in on the process of offensive coordinator. He should be in on the process. I'm not even saying in the room during the interviews necessarily, just involved in the process. Meet the guy. Talk to the guy separately, privately. Doesn't have to be in the room while he's getting, you know, asked a ton of questions from ownership. Just, hey, we're thinking about hiring this guy. Why don't you meet with him and have lunch? Tell me what you think. He's going to throw interceptions and start yelling at his own teammates? What are you talking about? First of all, Tom Brady was the king of yelling at his own teammates. We love it. This is about finding the right guy to team up with him. That's what this is about. You're right. He's only played 7 games. You're right. Next year is going to be a big year for him. You're right. Don't you think you should hire a coach that he feels has a good working relationship with? No? Shouldn't be a consideration? Getting Jackson Dart to make the next step so that he is the guy you're asking for him to be eventually, that's this decision right now. And he should be involved in it.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Sam in Manhattan. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Chris. Congrats on the new gig.
Thank you, buddy.
So, you know, it's funny. I feel like this David Stearns offseason has divided the Mets fan base into two camps, basically, which is basically those that, you know, are incredibly pro-analytics and basically agree with everything Stearns does in his master plan, and then those who, you know, are anti-analytics and don't really love, you know, what he's about. And I tend to fall in the camp in between, which, you know, as you know, being in the middle is, in this day and age, is not really where you ever want to be. But my big issue with Stearns at this point is I don't really see a concrete plan, in that he doesn't seem like he's willing to trade big-time prospects. He also doesn't really seem like he's willing to give out long-term deals, unless it's basically one of, like, you know, the top 5 to 7 players in the sport, which, I mean, as we all know, doesn't really, those guys rarely become free agents. And so you're kind of left in this, you know, middle tier, which is what Stearns has done, which is where Stearns has basically been shopping in forever. And the truth of the matter is, like, you can sign, you know, guys like Jorge Polanco at 2 years at a time,
right?
Or you can just sell, or you can just sign, you know, someone like Alonso for 5 years. And I'm not even saying that, like, I love Alonso, but I wasn't sold on him definitely being here long term. I just don't really see how his method of thinking about building a team actually computes with A, being in New York, and B, having Steve Cohen as your owner.
I don't disagree with your thoughts on, like, to me, when you have Steve Cohen as your owner, if you're nervous about the last 2 years of Pete Alonso, having Steve Cohen is the exact reason why you're not nervous about it. Like, that's like, it, like, Pete Alonso is going to continue to hit home runs. Like, here's the, I've done this, but let's just, like, Pete has played as much baseball as anybody else since 2009. Did I say it quick enough to not make that mistake? Did I throw in the teen quick enough there not to be an idiot? I think I did. Since 2019, 161, 57 out of 60, 152, 160, 154, and he's played 162 over the last 2 years. Like, the most he's ever missed in a season is 9 games. I mean, or 10 games, rather. 152, 162. Not, like, 10 games. The most he's ever missed. Why do I think he's going to break down? He is going to hit 35 to 40 home runs for every one of those 5 years. Like, I firmly believe that. As long as he's healthy, he's hitting 35 home runs. He's Jim Thome. He's one of these big guys. His batting average might go down. His on-base percentage might go down. His defense might continue to get worse. All of that is fair. But he's going to hit you 35 home runs. And I'm sorry. If you have the richest owner in baseball, a right-handed power bat as your DH that hits you 35 home runs, even at $30 million, should not put you in a position where you can't do the other things you want to do. Like, it's just, I'm sorry. I don't understand it. I still don't understand it. Don't understand it. So you have Polanco for 2 years and save $20 million? I just don't get it. I don't get that one. I just never will. But doesn't mean they can't build a good team, you're right. And yeah, I would think with Steve Cohen, you would want to be willing to do more impactful things. Now, you don't want to make bad decisions because you have a rich owner. I get it. There is a line. But you also can't just live in fear of making a mistake, and you can't just continue to build your team without ever taking a chance or, like, always staying to your value. You can't stick to your value system for forever. Not with Steve Cohen. In Milwaukee, you can. In Milwaukee, it's more prudent. In Milwaukee, you can't afford the mistake. You can't take risks. You can't be willing to overpay to see if you have a hunch on a guy and see if it pans out. You can. With Steve Cohen and the Mets, you can afford to do it. I don't get it. Peter and Lawrence. What's up, Peter?
How are you, Chris? Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Welcome to the prime time.
Thank you very much. Not quite yet, but we're getting there.
I'm still confused of why he left, why they didn't go after him, but I can understand it, the business move.
Mm-hmm.
Getting Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, I think it's aces. People may not agree with me. I heard on another radio show the Mets have made a mistake. But I think Weaver and Williams will turn around. It's not a change of scenery. It's a change of venue. It's the fact that somebody wanted them when the Yankees did not.
Well, that's just ridiculous. That I just totally disagree with, Peter.
Well,
I mean, but I don't understand what you mean. Like, what do you mean? The Yankees didn't.
Why didn't they re-sign Weaver?
Yeah, no.
Why didn't they re-sign Williams?
They didn't want him.
Correct.
Right. But what makes you? But what's the?
I think yeah, I think they will bounce. I think yeah, they will do good this year.
I understand. Here's my point, though. They were wanted. What? They were wanted last year. They went out and traded for Devin Williams. They changed the facial hair policy for him. How could you say they didn't want him last year? Like, yeah, after he was terrible last year, they didn't want him. And after Luke Weaver was bad, they didn't want him. But you're talking about he's going to bounce back. It's going to be different than last year. They were both wanted last year. They went out and traded for Devin Williams. They changed the hair, the beard policy for him. They picked up the option for Weaver. He was their closer in the World Series. They wanted both of those guys, and they were terrible. The problem wasn't that they weren't wanted. Like, that doesn't make any sense, man. Yes, currently, as of right now, the Mets wanted them, the Yankees didn't. But you make it. Your point is that this year is going to be different because they're going to be wanted. They were wanted last year. Yankees traded a good prospect who played third base and played very well for the number one seed in the NL. Caleb Durbin had a really good year. They could have used him. Devin Williams' problem last year wasn't he wasn't wanted. I can promise you that. Pablo in Dover. What's up, babe?
D-Mac, how you doing, my man? Congratulations,
good,
man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, man, hanging in there. I mean, I'm a Giant and Mets fan, dude, so I guess I've seen better days. I'm calling specifically about the Giants. I don't agree with your take. Well, I do and I don't with Dart. I do think his feedback into the coach is important, but I think there's a line you have to draw as a franchise. You know, the Giants are a disaster. I'm actually calling in because I'm concerned and I have a question for you. I know that the jury's still out on Joe Shane, but if the Giants lose out, which I know the Raiders are on the schedule, so it's maybe not possible, but I think it is with how awful this roster is. Do you see a scenario where Joe Shane keeps his job? Because I think it doesn't matter if you hire Chuck Knoll or Bill Walsh with Joe Shane at the helm. I just don't see him building a competent roster for the Giants to turn this around. So I'm curious about your take on that.
Well, I have two different thoughts on it with the way you worded the question. One, I don't disagree with you that he needs to go, but my point is, and like, what the hell does it matter if they lose the last three or win the last three? Like, so if they win the last three, are you confident with them?
No. I don't want them. What I'm saying is, like,
the idea that ownership is still looking at it, the idea that he's still being evaluated, the idea that he could do something to either save his job or fully end his job with these last three games, that the decision isn't already made, is so incredibly stupid to me. Because these games mean absolutely nothing, and I can't imagine how they have a serious weight with the organization on how to handle Joe Shane. And I'm not even saying you're wrong, because it's kind of been reported that could be the case. Like, to me, that's the question, though. So if we're still evaluating him, if they win all three games, he earns his job back?
Like, I agree.
It's
insane, but you could argue that it's insane that he's still employed, because the record is what the record is. So it's just like, I guess for me, at some point, this has to pass like the laws of insanity, where at what point do you look at his record and say, okay, like, we literally just had one of the worst records in franchise history. Like, there has to be a breaking point.
It has to have already happened, or it doesn't. It shouldn't. Like, I honestly feel that way. I know this is a weird take, sort of. It's a nuanced take. I would respect isn't the right word. I would feel worse. Honestly, this is honestly how I feel. I would feel worse about how the Giants are being run and the leadership of the organization if currently today, right now, they are unsure of what to do with Joe Shane, or that Joe Shane is coming back. Like, right, let's say at the moment, they have not gone to the level of, you know what, we got to fire him. As of right now, the plan would be to keep him. But the last three games go so poorly that that decision gets changed and they decide to fire him. Like, I want him gone. But the idea that the organization is still unsure about it and would allow the last three games against the Vikings, Raiders, and Cowboys to dictate that decision, that actually makes me feel worse. I would rather have them have conviction in Joe Shane. I know that sounds crazy, because ultimately I kind of want him gone. I mean, I certainly want him gone. But I know that the ownership is not going anywhere, and I have to have some semblance of faith that they're not completely lost. And to me, allowing the last three games of a dead season at 2-12 to dictate whether or not I'm keeping my GM is so bananas and lost that I have a real tough time understanding it. I would almost rather them say, you know what, we believe in him. It's gone ugly here. Who cares how much uglier? It's gone ugly, but you know what? We believe in his process. We've talked around the NFL. Word is around the NFL that they believe in his process. You know, we've seen other GMs operate, and this clearly, I think he's about to really improve scouting. I think he's really about to prove this. And I believe Neighbors is a really great pick. I believe Abdul Carter, if he was coached better and held more accountable, there's that word again, at the start of the year, we wouldn't have these issues with him. And I think he's a dynamite pick and a dynamite player. He drafted Jackson Dart, who's going to be the leader of our franchise. We're fixing the offensive line a little bit. Right? Andrew Thomas is really good. The young center is starting to play better. That looks like a better draft pick than it did at the beginning of the year. The trade for Burns was excellent. He's at the top of the list in league sacks. So, like, we see enough that we trust Joe Shane, and we understand the year has gotten away from us and the team is terrible, and we think a lot of it was coaching at the beginning of the year, and now it's just too steep a hole to dig out of, and we're going to trust in our conviction, and we're going to stay with Joe Shane. I would rather have that argument than, you know what, we were with him up until he lost to the Raiders. Then it's like, I can't. Like, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that these last three games have any real indication on what happens. Because if you say that they do, that means if they win them, he could stay. What the hell would beating the Vikings and the Raiders prove? Why would that make him better at his job? Why would that warrant him coming back? I want him gone. But if ownership still hasn't made that decision, they're lost. And that scares me almost as much, if not more. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We got one more call before the top. Dennis in Jersey. What's up, Dennis?
What's going on, C-Mac?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I got a question. What do you think about Eric Bieniemy being the next coach of the Giants? I think Jackson Dart would be really good in that offense if he had, like, some part in the offensive role. I haven't heard his name brought up.
That's what, he was obviously the offensive coach for Kansas City for forever. He is currently the running backs coach. I had to check that up. I wasn't even sure what he's doing right now. He is currently the running back coach for the Bears. He failed as offensive coordinator and assistant head coach with the Commanders, finally out from under Andy Reid's protective net on his own, and it kind of failed. He went to UCLA for a year, and now he's with the Bears as the running back coach. For years, he couldn't get a head coaching job, although, I mean, he was the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs for forever and Patrick Mahomes and championships, and it just felt like, year after year, I don't know if he's bad in the meetings. I don't know what it was, but for years he was a top candidate. Everyone assumed he'd get a job, and year after year, all the hirings would be made without him. my initial feeling is that time period has passed for him. He would have to start again. He would have to get an offensive coordinator job again and prove he was successful at that before he'd be considered for a head coaching job. He's not right now. He's the running back coach with the Bears. I think his next job is to get back as an offensive coordinator before making the leap back into the idea he could be a head coach.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.